Chapter 17, A Trip to Vancouver Island, Wednesday, August 3rd, 1988. First, he went to the post office and then to the bank to change 250 U.S. into Canadian currency. I received 300 Canadian. They requested the account number I had in the branch, but fortunately, Lydia was one of their clients, so I had no problems to change the money. Back at Lydia's place, I grabbed my luggage and started my trip. I waited for the 351 bus. I requested my transfer and asked the driver to let me know when we arrived at Matthew Exchange Stop, where I would have to take the 640 bus going to Tawasin. A few minutes later, the driver announced a stop. I got off and waited for the next bus. There were no people at that bus stop. Actually, it was a stop in the middle of nowhere. A few minutes later, the bus arrived, and I showed my transfer, so I did not have to pay again. We passed by Delta, a place where there are several residential areas. Once at the terminal, I went straight to the ticket office. I bought a single ticket, known as foot passenger, and paid $4.50 Canadian, that is 9,000 Mexican. The ferries departed every 2 hours. They announced my departure soon. People got on board quickly and took a seat. It was a huge ferry with big windows to enjoy the view, several seats and a restaurant in the middle. Through a loudspeaker, they welcomed everybody, gave instructions about the facilities, and told us how long it was going to get to our destination. The estimated time was 1 hour and 35 minutes, so I decided to take a look at the ferry. There were many doors. Some of them led to the deck and some others to the lower level. I went downstairs to take a look. Workers were very busy. They were doing the type of work is required to run a ferry. I kept on walking, and I was very surprised when I opened a door and saw many cars, trucks, and even buses. That floor accommodated various types of vehicles. I walked a little between them. It was amazing to be aware of how much weight this ferry could carry. After a while, I went upstairs to a floor in between where there was a fast food place. It was announced that soon we were going to come close to a group of islands. Most of the passengers went out to the deck, and we could say hello to the people who were on the other side. The view of the small islands and the sea was spectacular. There were people everywhere in the ferry, so I could converse with some of them. Even though I had very short conversation, it was a good opportunity to speak in English. I took a couple of pictures. As I watched the landscape, I could enjoy the fresh air and the sunlight. All of a sudden, the arrival at Vancouver Island was announced. Most of the people started going downstairs. About 80% of the passengers were traveling by car or by bus. During this time, I took a seat at the front of the ferry and waited for it to stop. But before getting off, I took some booklets from the shelf about some landmarks of the city of Victoria. I looked through them and picked out some I liked. Later, I was going to read carefully the information they provided. Once the ferry docked, I followed the people, which made it easier for me to get to the bus stop. Arrival at the city of Victoria in British Columbia. After minutes, the bus arrived. I asked if the bus passed by the Hostel Victoria located on Yates Street. The driver said it did, so I took a seat and enjoyed the view that consisted mainly of very clean areas and elegant residences. The fare was $2 Canadian, that is 4,000 Mexican, more expensive than in Vancouver. The total amount of money I spent to travel in Victoria was $7.50 Canadian and not 11 Canadian as planned. which meant that I could save $3.25 Canadian, 7,000 Mexican. Good, wasn't it? On arriving at the small city, the driver announced Yates Street. That was my stop. It was 3 p.m. and I walked to number 516, the hostel as indicated, a Mexican restaurant. The hostel was closed. I checked 3 hours and they opened at 4 p.m. So I decided to eat something. I happened to find a Mexican restaurant near there. I walked in and ordered some food. The prices were very high. I paid $15 Canadian, that is 30,000 Mexican. The owner of the place came close to me and asked where I was from. I said from Mexico City. He was originally from Guadalajara and added that he missed it very much. I enjoyed the food and the conversation. When I finished, I went to the hostel. I showed the card I was given in Jasper. I had no problems to check in and I paid $28 Canadian, 56,000 Mexican for 3 nights. They had rooms for women and men as well. Also, they had a kitchen, room, TV, and a reception. There was a locker for each visitor next to the bunk beds. Some of my roommates suggested that I should buy a lock. It just happened that there was a locksmith on the same street. So I bought one that cost $5.50 Canadian, 11,000 Mexican, almost half the amount of money I paid in the restaurant. Well, I did it just to make sure my belongings were safe at the hostel. I went back and rested for a while, and then I went for a walk. It was a very small city. I walked along several streets where there were stores selling souvenirs, restaurants, and museums. I just looked at everything this time. Once again, I went back to the hostel approximately at 10 p.m. I read a little before falling asleep. A tour in the city of Victoria, Thursday, August 4th, 1988. I went downtown, a big square-shaped area surrounded by many buildings. There was a harbor right in the center and a square-shaped sidewalk where people sang and sold paintings, caricatures, and self-portraits. In the inner harbor, there were two museums, the Royal London Wax Museum with its dramatic dioramas and a Maritime Museum of BC. In this area, there were some restaurants and a very famous ivy-covered and tall building, the Empress Hotel. I heard that the hotel was known for serving tea to the hotel guests or visitors at 5 o'clock. Apparently, the service was open to the public in general, but it was very expensive. The British Columbia Parliament Building was across from the museum. Were across from the museums. These buildings are a symbol of the city. They were built by Francis Mawson Rattenbury. I took a tour along with other tourists in these buildings. I learned about their history, the origin of their stained glass windows and pieces that furnished all the rooms. They also talked about the main attractions in the area. At night, 3,000 small light bulbs lit up these beautiful buildings, and music with bagpipes was played outside. The tour lasted for almost an hour. They took us through many rooms, showed the room where the Canadian authorities had their meetings, and also those special places reserved for important characters, such as Queen Elizabeth from England and her son, Prince Charles. They had pictures of many Canadian government representatives throughout its history. The tour guide said that the architect and designer of the British Columbia Parliament Building was also responsible for the construction of the Empress Hotel located on Belleville Street. After saying that, the tour guide concluded the tour. This time, I ate in a fast food place, which was very cheap, $2.99 Canadian, that is 5,800 Mexican. I had some chicken with potatoes and a pop. There I met a young person who worked in a mall. He told me he was from a city to the north of Canada in the province of Saskatchewan and asked me if I was working in the area. Of course, I said, I was a tourist from Mexico, which was surprising for him since not many Mexicans lived there, and those who did were working, not touring. We said goodbye and I continued onward with my trip. I stopped by a bookstore and asked if they had Og Medina's books. They pointed to the shelf where they were. I bought two more, The Christ Commission and The Greatest Secret in the World. I paid $3 Canadian, that is 8,000 Mexican each. I walked out of the store and then along the main streets. There was a tourist information center on the corner of a street. They had the same booklets I saw on the ferry. I took the ones I did not have. I talked to one of the agents who recommended some places such as the Botchart Gardens and the Museum of Civilization. Later, as I was near the hostel, I went back there. On my way there, I walked into a store to buy some bread, ham, and pop. It was $7 Canadian in total, that is 14,000 Mexican. In the room of the hostel, I met a man from Taiwan. We conversed about our trip in Canada. After resting, he said he was going to go for a walk and see the British Columbia Parliament buildings all lit up. He asked me if I wanted to go with him, and I accepted. Then he introduced me to his sister, a very pretty and small lady. The three of us went downtown. We saw the buildings fully lit up. There was so much light that the buildings looked even more elegant. The Empress Hotel was lit up as well. All this area looked completely different at night. After that, we had dinner. We conversed about Mexico and Taiwan. We were interested in getting to know about each other's country. Then they told me they were in Canada to learn English. We exchanged addresses and went back to the hostel. I said goodbye to his sister since they were going to leave the city the next day. I was going to stay there two more nights, so I had to plan my days. The Royal London Wax Museum, Friday, August 5th, 1988. I went to the public library. I checked the books they had read for a while and then took a look at some books that showed pictures of Canada and a general interest. There were a lot of people. I left the building at 1 p.m. It was cloudy and rainy, and I was very cold. I had to go to a place where I could be indoors, the Museum of Civilization. Someone told me about it. The admission was $3 Canadian, that is 6,000 Mexican. It took me almost 3 hours to go through all the rooms. I learned more about the history of Canada, especially about the Inuit people who settled down before the colonizers arrived. In the museum, there was a restaurant, an auditorium for 536 persons, and a room where they had a special exhibition on Charles Chaplin. Also, they had several screens showing the most famous movies produced by this famous actor. In some other rooms, they displayed objects, clothing, and utensils that belonged to the indigenous peoples. They used drawings, clothing, and statues made of wax to describe their culture. They also had a replica of the 19th century hotel showing several interesting objects such as lamps, braziers, pieces of furniture, etc. There was another room displaying stuffed birds. I left the museum, and after a short walk, I came across another museum, but smaller. It was the Miniature World Museum. I paid $2.75 Canadian, almost 6,000 Mexican, for admission. They had models showing the way Charles Darwin's world was, the city of London in 1670, the wonderful world of the circus, a scale model of a 1885 train, some passages of Gulliver's Travels, the fantasy land and the frontier land. I did not want to miss the opportunity to visit the Royal London Wax Museum, so I bought a ticket. A person told me that wax figures were already sculptured during the period of the pharaohs for religious purposes, and later in 1833, Marie Toussaint opened her first wax museum. At the entrance, you can see the figures of the Canadian police wearing their well-known hat. I remember quite well the figure of Queen Elizabeth of England, Prince Charles, and Lady Diana, who was his wife. Some other figures of famous people were King George III, Sir James Douglas, George Washington, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Benjamin Disraeli, Martin Luther King, Lincoln, Charles de Gaulle, Napoleon Bonaparte, John F. Kennedy, Jean d'Arc, Christopher Reeve, Leonardo da Vinci, Bach, Einstein, Christopher Columbus, Charles Dickens, William Shakespeare, Edison, Alexander Graham Bell, George Vancouver, Margaret Thatcher, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, The Magic of Oz, Mr. Disney, a scene of Star Wars, Elvis Presley, Elizabeth Taylor, Sophia Loren, Clark Gable, the first astronauts to walk on the moon, Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, Edwin Aldrin, and the cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin. They had also some figures of religious characters such as Moses, Buddha, Gandhi, Pope John Paul II, Pope Paul VI, and the Last Supper, which was in a room far from the others and magnified through audio with the apostles and Jesus' voice at the time the Last Supper took place. It seemed very real. I watched the faces of the figures and they seemed to be talking. It was one of the displays that impressed me the most. On the other hand, there was a figure of Terence Stanley Fox, a sportsman who was born in Winnipeg in 1958. He was a very enthusiastic student and an athlete. At the age of 19, he was diagnosed with cancer in one of the bones of his right leg. In order to save his life, doctors amputated his leg and he had to learn how to wear a prosthetic one. He created the Marathon of Hope, a marathon he started in St. John's, Newfoundland, and was forced to stop in Thunder Bay, Ontario. It was amazing that he could run 3,300 miles, that is, 5,373 kilometers through some provinces. He said that the marathon was to help others so that they could keep their hope. He died in 1981. I left the museum and headed towards the hostel where I had some food and rested for a while. Since it was early, I decided to do the laundry. Each hostel has a laundry room, which is cheap. I had to insert 75 cents in either washing machine or dryer. There, I met a woman from Israel who showed me how to use those machines. She was very tall and pretty, and we talked while the clothes were being washed. We had a very nice and interesting conversation since I could ask her about some places such as Nazareth and Bethlehem, and also we talked about religious matters. As soon as we finished, I went back to my room, put my clothes away, and went to bed since lights were turned off at 10 o'clock, just like in the other hostels. The next day, I bought a book entitled The Greatest Miracle in the World. I paid $3.95 Canadian, that is $8,000 Mexican for it. The Butchart Gardens, Saturday, August 6, 1988. After walking around downtown, I bought a ticket for the Butchart Garden tour because I had heard it was worthwhile visiting. I paid $21 Canadian, that is $42,000 Mexican, and the bus departed at 5 p.m. I had some food for which I paid $3 Canadian, that is $6,000 Mexican. Then I went window shopping and later I went back to the hostel to inquire if I was permitted to arrive late. They said there was no problem. I went to the stop for double-deckers, which was the bus I was going to take for the tour. I handed in my ticket and they told me I could sit on the first or second deck. I was lucky to find a seat on the second one. It was announced that the tour would take 5 hours. They took us to downtown and gave some information about their landmarks, which was addressed, I believed, to people who had never been in that city before. Once the tour that covered the city was over, they took us to the gardens, which was 21 kilometers north of the city. There was a sign showing the hours in the summer, open from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. We arrived at 6:30 p.m., so we still had some sunlight for a few hours and also 4.5 hours to enjoy the place. The garden was organized as follows. The visitor information center located at the entrance, where I could see some brochures with information about the gardens in several languages. They also had a store where they sold books and items for gardening. The rest of the lot was divided in sections where they grew many types of flowers. We walked through the Italian garden, the Japanese garden, the rose garden, the tulip garden, etc. We were told that the butchers traveled to many places around the world collecting different types of flowers. At the beginning, they planted some flowers in their garden and invited relatives and friends to see them. This was the origin of the gardens. Since the amount of flowers they grew increased, they looked for a bigger place, which later on became a landmark. Originally, the place was named Benvenuto, then Welcome, and finally, the Butchered Gardens. There was a fountain spraying water that changed pattern every 5 or 10 minutes. I had not noticed that because I was watching the gardens, but some of the people I was traveling with told me that I had to observe how the pattern of the water changed. The patterns were the same as those of the fountains that are very popular nowadays. It was a unique experience for me to see so many different colors and types of flowers together. It was the first time I was in a place like that. It was really worthwhile paying the admission fee to visit it. Any person can enjoy it, I am quite sure. We were told that this Garden of Eden had been visited since 1904 and that they added a new type of flower every year. We went all over the gardens quickly so that we could see the fireworks. For a moment, I thought that it would have been much better to arrive there in the morning so that we could have taken a break when necessary and follow the tour at our own pace. Anyway, we went to a lake where many people started gathering to see the fireworks. The show was great. Before going back to the city of Victoria, I bought some postcards. I never thought that this tour could be one of the best experiences in my life. It is a place that I would like to visit again in the future. Many of the tourists knew each other by then, so we talked about our experience in the gardens, among other things. As soon as we arrived at the city, the bus driver took the passengers as close as possible to their residence or hotel. I got off at the first stop that I was familiar with. I arrived approximately at 11:30 p.m. The hostel was closed, so I rang the bell. The person, in turn, knew I was going to be late. There were several people awake in the room. One of them asked where I was from. I answered, and we started a conversation. He spoke some English, and sometimes he used German words, his mother tongue, which I could not understand at all. Our conversation was not very fluent. For when he did not know how to say something in English, he asked for help to his friends in German. We talked for approximately half an hour. Then he gave me some coupons to buy pizza and some other things. Actually, that was the reason for him talking to me. He said he was going to leave the city, so he was not going to need them. Finally, we exchanged our address and said goodbye. His name was Marcus Ruths, and I went to say that I am still in touch with this good friend of mine.